It's been one hell of a week for my childhood heroes. Hulk Hogan, dead at the age of 71. Chuck Mangione, dead. Malcolm Jamal Warner. And of course, the most devastating was Ozzy Osbourne. On the phone right now, live from Indiana, touring with Lou Gramm and his all-stars, and great friend of the program, Gary Hoey. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing, brother?
We're still bummed, you know?
Oh, I can feel it. I know. I'm the same. It's like one hit after another, man.
And before we get to how you auditioned for Ozzy, you were an Ozzy fan long before you auditioned for Ozzy.
Who was?
You were.
Well,
I'm teeing you up for a story where you hitchhiked across Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you want to hear the backstory?
Yes.
Because the backstory was that I was pretty much obsessed with Black Sabbath growing up. Very obsessed. And in 1976, me and all my friends, we hitchhiked to Springfield, Massachusetts, in denim jackets, with skulls on the back, to go see Black Sabbath. And we got there, and it was during the day, we were trying to find some weed. And, these dudes came up and like, yeah, we got weed, but we got to take one of you with us. So they took one guy, took all our money. He came back with no weed, no money.
Oh, so,
he got rolled, and then we went into the show. We're like, oh, and right before we went into the show, we were there early enough. We saw Ozzy and the band pull up in a limousine. We actually saw them go into the building, which was so surreal. We were freaking out. We're running up to the chain link fence screaming. And we get into the show. It was a general admission show, and we made it right up to the front of the stage. And I was literally at the front, and Mountain came on with Leslie West.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. Corky Lang lighting his drumsticks on fire.
Wow. Nice.
And then out comes Ozzy, with the tassel jacket and the two-piece signs and the band, and we're just like dying. I'm right in the front. I actually grabbed his mic stand with my hands. And they started playing. It was insane. The show was amazing. Everybody was passing weed around the whole show, so we really didn't need to buy any. And then we left the show. We had no way to get home, so we had just enough money. One of us had just enough money to get 4 Greyhound bus tickets home, so we made it home. And this is 1976. So I'm playing guitar. I'm a serious guitar player working on my thing. And then fast forward 10 years later, or less, probably 9 years later, I hear this voice on the radio in Boston on WBCN. Saying, I'm looking for a guitar player. I'm hearing his voice. This is Ozzy, man. New guitarist. So we can kick ass, man. And I'm hearing him on the phone, and I'm just like on the radio going, you got to be kidding me. This is Ozzy on the radio. So I grab my amp. I turn the guitar on. I call the radio station with my curly cord phone. I throw it on the floor. I go, I want to talk to Ozzy. And I start playing Crazy Train. And then I go into, I don't know, I go into like other Ozzy riffs, and the guy on the switchboard says, there's a guy on the phone that wants to audition for Ozzy, and he sounds really good. So they go, well, tell him to send a tape to this address, and they gave me an address over the phone. I sent a demo tape in. I never thought I'd ever hear from anyone. And about 3 weeks later, I get a call, and they say, we're flying you to Los Angeles to play with Ozzy.
Jesus!
Wow.
Wow.
Man.
And I'm literally, you got to understand something. I'm obsessed with Ozzy, like more than you can even imagine. I'm so obsessed with the band. This is like my childhood, everything. And they said, you're flying to LA to play with Ozzy. And I was like, who is this? This isn't real. I didn't believe it. And they kept telling me, this is real. We're sending you the flight. And I flew. I went to Los Angeles, and I get picked up in a limousine. The guy comes to the airport. He's waiting with a limo. I get in the limousine. I've never been in a limo in my life. I'm driving through the streets of Hollywood, Sunset Boulevard, palm trees. I've never left Lowell, Massachusetts. I've never been to California. And I show up at this rehearsal place. I come in, and there's guys lined up in the hall with all leather jackets and long hair. They all look like me. I'm like, wow, this is a cattle call. So we get in. And I actually got to play with Ozzy. He comes in the room, sings with me, I Don't Know, Crazy Train. He sits down. He tells me to do a solo for 5 minutes by myself. So I have to sit there and just play by myself. They're all staring at me. The hot, most pressure I've ever felt. And Ozzy really liked me. He came up to me. He said, you know, we're gonna have you back tomorrow. And I was like, they're going to have me back tomorrow. That's a good sign. So I came back the next day. And I played again. And then Ozzy came up to me and he said, if you don't get the gig, man, you have to move to L.A. And he said to me, you really need to move to L.A., whether you get this or not. And he just gave me that voice of confidence. And obviously, I didn't get the gig. But I came home, I saved everything I had, sold everything I had, and I moved across the country with a U-Haul trailer and moved to Hollywood. And within 5 years, I was signed to Warner Brothers Records.
Wow. One phone call.
Wow.
One phone call, bro, changed my whole life.
Wow.
Well, it was all the work you did leading up to that phone call, all the practicing, right, all the rehearsing, all the obsession with Ozzy and Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
So when that moment arrived, you were ready for it.
Right. That's everything.
I was, bro. I was so ready. And I, you know, I didn't know I had something. You know, I just didn't know. You just, when you're a musician playing in a garage, you just, even as good as you think you're getting, until somebody like Ozzy looks at you and says, hey, you sound pretty good, you just don't believe it.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And I just, I literally believe I owe my career to Ozzy Osbourne, like literally owe my career, because not only did he mold the way I play and the way I write, because I sent him songs that he really liked, and that's how I got the audition. It wasn't because of my guitar playing, it was because of my songwriting. He liked my songs. And I auditioned for Ronnie James Dio, and the same thing happened. He liked one of the songs I'd written, and I went in and played with Ronnie James Dio, and again, I didn't get the gig. And I kept auditioning for everybody, David Lee Roth, all these different tours, and I kept not getting the gig, and that's when I decided to become a solo artist.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, that certainly worked out for you. Gary Hoey's on the phone, good friend of the program, and super Ozzy fan. And man, that had to be just surreal when you're standing there, and there's Ozzy Osbourne talking to you.
Oh, it was beyond, I mean, it was so unreal. Like, even when he was singing with me in the band, Randy Castillo was still alive. You know, it was, who was on bass? Was it Rudy Sarzo? I think it was Rudy Sarzo that was there. I think it was Rudy. Randy Castillo on drums. And Ozzy came over to me and he was singing with me. Like he was going, I don't know. And he was, you know, how he shakes his head and he does that thing.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing it like right in my face and he was just pulling it out of me. And you know, whether I got the gig or not, like I experienced that. And the other thing is when I went in there, they had anyone that knows guitar, they know Marshall stacks, you know, the big stacks of amps.
Right.
They had a bunch of stacks set up, and I could, when I plugged in, it was the loudest sound I ever heard in my life.
When your plug went into the, it was like, boom!
I literally touched one string, and my hair went back. It was like a Maxwell tape commercial.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, this is loud. You know, and to prepare for the audition, I went into a rehearsal studio in Cambridge, the Cambridge Music Complex, which not there anymore. And I used to be right next door to Aerosmith in Boston. We were all rehearsing in the same place.
Wow.
And I see Steven Tyler walking down the halls. I mean, it was insane. And I took a Marshall stack and I went in a room and I turned it on 10 and I played for 2 weeks before the audition.
Oh, yeah.
Just to try to prepare for that volume. And it still was nothing at the level of Ozzy.
Well,
and
they had it on 11. Sound.
Yeah. They had it on 11. Yeah. And the guy goes, can I turn it down? He goes, no.
There's nowhere to hide when it's that loud. Yeah, we're gonna hear how you play.
Man, and you're the guitar on top of drums and bass. I mean, there you are, and there's Ozzy
right
in your face screaming, I don't know. Yeah. Oh my God.
And just trying to be calm.
In that environment.
Surreal.
Yeah, it's like that in itself is such a big deal. Just to be able to calm under that kind of pressure is, man.
Well, you know what's amazing? I felt, you know, I've always said this to my son, too. If you prepare for something enough, you know, if you know you did your homework, if you know you did it sideways, backwards, and upside down, that you're going to be ready.
Right.
And if you know you did the work, you got to go in there with the confidence, and you got to kick ass, and you have to just not have any doubts, because the doubt will ruin you.
Right.
So that's kind of how I approached it. And that's how I've lived my whole life is, you know, if you don't prepare, you can't blame yourself. You can't blame anyone else if you don't make it, you know?
Right. Well, you had the confidence and the preparation to make that phone call to the radio station to get the audition.
I think I was crazy, man.
That was a bold move right there. Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't think about it. You just knew that's Ozzy, and right. He's looking for a guitar player.
This is my chance.
I'm calling right now.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like I was the guy. I just did. In my head, I'm like, I'm the guy. I can do this. I know I can do this, and I could have done it. You know, I think Zach was a perfect choice, you know, a perfect choice. A great guy, great musician. And at the time, I mean, he looked a lot like Randy Rhoads, let's be honest, you know.
Right.
So that didn't hurt.
Didn't hurt. And you're touring right now with Lou Gramm?
I am. I've been in Lou's all-star band now for, it's over a year, maybe going on a year and a half. I've been touring with Lou, and it's so amazing, you know, playing those Foreigner hits, all those hits. Just every song is a hit song, and Lou's so awesome to work with. He's such a great guy.
We got a chance to meet him a couple of years ago when he played the Milford Oyster Festival, and yes, what a down-to-earth human being, and great dude. You wouldn't know he was a rock star, sold millions and millions and millions of records.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He's when we're on tour, you know, whatever hotels we're in and traveling, like he comes down, has the breakfast buffet with everybody. And it's just, you know, I look at him and I'm just like, this is the coolest guy I've ever seen. And he is the most humble person. I say to him all the time, I'm like, Lou, you're like one of the best ever. I do gush on him a lot. I'm like, dude, Mount Rushmore of singers, your face is up there.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
His face is up there.
Yeah, what a voice. What a voice.
And the amazing thing is, 30 years ago, I auditioned. 30 years ago, I opened up for Foreigner on one of my first tours. I opened for Foreigner and the Doobie Brothers 30 years ago. Fast forward 30 years later, I'm in a band with Lou Gramm. It's just insane.
Yeah, you're standing there and there's Lou Gramm. On stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still look at him. I just look across and I'm like, that's Lou Gramm. Because I remember the videos growing up and the first Foreigner record. I mean, I listened to that music. It molded me as a songwriter, the songs from that band.
Gary, one of my favorite Toy Drive moments was looking up on stage and seeing Gary Hoey, Brad Whitford from Aerosmith, and Derek St. Holmes from Ted Nugent all playing together. And it wasn't scheduled. It was just you guys chit-chatted, and it was like, yeah.
We're all here?
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
I think I was actually on that Toy Drive that time, because I remember taking photos with Brad and, yeah.
Yeah, and Gary.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I still remember that day, and I love Brad, and, you know, love those guys. Derek is incredible, another incredible singer. But yeah, thanks for having me at that, man. That was another career moment for me. Awesome.
But you're always welcome. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for waking up and coming on the radio.
Anytime for you guys, man. God bless Ozzy. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Gary Hoey, everybody. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.